splitting land into smaller lots. Another way to make money in real estate is to increase the size of the pie. Where there is only one lot, make two. Marcy did just this. After a careful search, she found an older house on a hillside, located just outside the city limits of her town. The house itself was sitting on an acre of land. It was positioned to the front of the plot, near the street. Fully half the remaining land was open space behind the house, where the owner had planted fruit-bearing trees. It was an exclusive part of town, and the property was for sale for $400,000. Nearby homes on half-acre lots sold for about as much. This house had the added advantage of the bigger lot, but on the negative side, it was old and run down, balancing things out. The sellers were a middle-aged couple who owned their own business. They were relocating to a different state. Marcy tried to negotiate the price down, but they were adamant, so she eventually paid full price. Marcy arranged for 90% financing and bought the property. Immediately after the purchase, she had the lot surveyed, isolated the back half acre, and dedicated a strip of land up the side to the street. She now had two lots, the front lot, on which there was the house, and the back, or flag lot, with its own access to the world. She advertised the back lot for sale at $200,000. It only took a few months to find a buyer who was willing to pay $175,000 in cash. She thought she had everything licked, until she tried to close escrow on the deal. Marcy discovered that the lender who had given her the loan on the property when she bought it had the entire property listed as collateral. The lender was not willing to give up even an inch of land and dilute its collateral. Marcy begged and pleaded, to no avail. So she tried an end run. She had the property refinanced. This required a new escrow and title insurance. However, as part of the refinancing, she had the property lines redrawn, reflecting the split-off of the back lot. She offered the new lender only the lot on which the house stood. Since the house was on its own lot with nearly half an acre of land, the lender did not object. She got new financing, separated off the back lot, and sold it for $150,000 in cash. Then Marcy fixed up the house and resold it for $450,000. Her total profit on the land split was $200,000. The moral here is that where there's a will, there's a way. The biggest problem with splits tends to be the lenders, who almost never will agree to reduce their collateral. Thus, you'll have to get new financing on each side of the split, or on only one side, as was the case here. It's worth noting that splits come in many different flavors. In San Francisco, for example, where land is very pricey, I've seen clever investors buy flats, buildings where each floor is a separate unit, and split them condo-style for big profits. In other cases, I've seen investors split lots and buildings on them into duplexes or triplexes, where the structure would allow it. The whole idea of the split is to create two or more parcels where previously there was only one, and in the process, of course, make a profit. The final land purchase we'll consider is the scraper. This refers to a property where the land is very expensive and the building isn't. Thus, the building is scraped off the land and a new, more appropriate one put up. Scrapers tend to occur primarily in older areas where prices have gone through the roof. For example, in parts of the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles, scrapers have become common. Here, older, smaller tract homes, sometimes having only 1,000 square feet, were built on very large lots, sometimes a third to half an acre. This was the way it was done back in the 1950s, when land was cheap. These homes and their lots originally sold for under $12,000. Today, however, nearby newer and much larger homes on the same size lots are selling for well into $1 million. Hence, the opportunity. Stephen also had gotten his start in real estate and single-family homes. However, his specialty had quickly developed into fixer-uppers. he looked for run-down homes that he could fix up and then resell at a profit. While searching, he came across the house on Maple Street. It was a typical tract home for the area, 50 years old, run down, but on a huge third-acre lot. And surrounding homes had been scraped with newer mansion-like buildings erected in their place. The seller was asking $450,000 for the property. To Stephen, that seemed like an exorbitant price for a run-down 1,000-square-foot house. However, the seller also realized that the value was in the location and the lot, not the house. However, the seller was hamstrung by the house. It was on the lot, and instead of adding value, it actually detracted. Most buyers simply wouldn't consider it as a place to live at the listed price. On the other hand, they weren't willing to undertake the task of knocking it down and starting from scratch. Stephen, however, had the entrepreneurial spirit. He negotiated and eventually got the house for close to $400,000. Then he had an architect draw up plans for a 3,200-square-foot mansion. He got the plans approved by the city and hired a builder to do the work. It took less than a day to scrape the old house. However, its connections to city sewer and utilities were saved, saving Stephen some additional hookup costs. The construction took 4 months, and when it was finished, the new building had cost him $425,000. He had $825,000 into the deal. Now he offered the property for sale at $1.3 million, and he got no offers. The real estate market had taken another of its cyclical dips, and high-end buyers were few and far between. The house sat on the market for 5 months, with Stephen making huge mortgage payments, until he finally unloaded it for $975,000. He did make nearly $75,000 after expenses. However, he could have made far more if the market had not turned, and in the meantime he had many sleepless nights wondering if he would come out okay at all. Scrapers are one of the scariest types of land deals to handle. They are best done by those who are already in the building trades. Contractors can save costs and handle construction for far less than an investor who has to hire it out. Thus, a contractor's margins are lower. In good times, scrapers can be wonderful investments, and I've seen investors rake in huge profits on them. But if the market turns sour or costs are too high, it's also very easy to lose. Land investments are great, and are one of the many different types of investments you may eventually want to try your hand at. Just remember, however, that they are usually for those who already have had some experience in the field.